and welcome to Super League Talks. It's Love Rugby League.com's Super League podcast, and I'm joined, as always, alongside Adrian Jackson. My name is Dave Parkinson, and what a show we've got for you. We've got Mike Rush, Wayne Cross, and Michael Monaghan as guests, also including a bit of after-match scenes from Rob Powell as well. It's been interesting all weekend, I'll tell you.
Well, first of all, Rob Powell wasn't a happy man, was he? And very critical of his team. It'd be interesting to see how that pans out in the future, because to be honest with you, I get the impression his future might be on the line.
Oh, are you tipping another Super League sacking?
I saw that, yes.
I mean, we already saw the back of Roy Simmons, didn't we, you know, like the previous week, and I think certainly they've sent out his responses anything to go by. That's just tremendous. They should sack the coach every week, shouldn't they?
I'm sure Mike Rush won't want that to happen, really. They'll be looking to build on what was a great victory against Leeds Rhino, so you can blame the red hair or not, but at the end of the day, Leeds just weren't good enough.
Let's start first of all with the results from last weekend. It all kicked off on Friday night at the DW Stadium, Wigan, when Wigan hosted Warrington. What a fantastic game that was as well. 20 points to 22 in Warrington's favour. The action then shifted on to Sunday. All Sunday afternoon kickoffs is a rare routine rugby league these days.
And a catch on in at 3 o'clock on a Sunday, my word.
Bradford Bulls 18, Salford City Reds 38, Castleford Tigers 28, Hull FC 42, Hull Kingston Rovers 40, Huddersfield 22, St Helens 46, Leeds 6, Wakefield 32, Catalan Dragons 22, and finally Widnes Vikings 38, London Broncos 30. Where should we start there, Adrian?
You've got to go with Widnes Vikings, back-to-back victories at the Sobat Stadium against London Broncos.
It was certainly a high-scoring clash, wasn't it? And anybody who's paying the hard-earned cash over the turnstiles of Widnes at the moment is getting royally entertained. I mean, they've gone and scored, 68 points in a game. It's not too bad, that, is it?
Not at all, but they still need to work on defence, don't they? You can see why the Vikings have got the worst defensive Super League when you can see the number of tries they did against the Broncos. And to be honest with you, the Broncos should have had the game won, get that much possession.
Now, Lloyd White has turned himself into a right little star for Widnes Vikings at the moment. Two tries on the weekend. The second try was an absolute pearler, wasn't it, as he supported Cameron Phelps breaking through in the last 6 or 7 minutes. Now, I have to admit, you saw more of that try than I did, because from where I was sitting, everybody in front stood up, but you got a much better view of it.
But the second play from Widnes, wasn't it? Ball down the left-hand side, straight down the touchline. And it's a great pass back on the inside to get the final touchdown, and Widnes won the game.
All the tries from Christine, Reece Hambry, Cameron Phelps and Ben Davies. Gareth O'Brien, the man who's on loan from Warrington, really bring a good stint in with the boot. 7 balls from 8 attempts, and he's really made a difference to Widnes, hasn't he?
He has. I think Widnes will be sort of the same goal. His loan period ends the day before Widnes go head-to-head with Warrington on the Thursday, and but I'm sure Dennis better be on the phone to try and maybe get that loan extended.
Well, the Broncos, they scored 5 tries themselves. Liam Colburn, Luke Dawn, Thornton Club, Matt Bryant and Michael Witt scoring tries with Witt kicking 5 goals. And before the game, we were talking about where we thought the threat would come from for London. And we said the halfbacks, didn't we? And they didn't disappoint us.
No, Witt and Cowell are a classy at-man. He might not have the pace of some of the more established halfback combinations during the Super League, but in terms of thinking and handling skills, they're not there with the best, aren't they? Unfortunately, the final pass just went way within the difficult things to move off.
Don't know if you can call them for a lack of pace in the halfbacks when you consider who Widnes have been playing there over the course of the season so far, but you're right in what you're saying, two very established players in Gower in particular. He's a classmate, played State of Origin, played for Australia, played International Rugby Union as well.
He did, yeah, but unfortunately the Broncos never got the victory. Widnes might be kicking themselves for the Broncos and allowing the Broncos to come back into the game, but in third place the Widnes Vikings, they stuck to the guns and got the victory they were looking for.
Yeah, Widnes like 18 points to 6 at half time, extended that advantage up to 24-6 at the start of the second half. But then London Broncos, they really did hit back, but Widnes Vikings wrestled the game back and eventually won by 38 points to 30. Let's have some post-game reaction, hearing first of all from victorious Widnes prop Ben Cross.
Ben Cross, the win against London Broncos, couldn't have a comfortable, but it was a bit nervous towards the end.
Yeah, we did the hard work early, but we sort of let the foot off a little bit there, and I got a couple of tries, and we just let them back in the game a little bit, just through poor defensive times, and obviously maybe about 10 minutes to say, but we can hold it down. Or we could actually come from behind. I'm sure we could come from behind against them. We had them get to that point and lead back in the game. And they were still pressuring our line. And get back in the game sort of repelled us. So I was going to see sort of a bit of a hold on sort of mentality of knocking back.
Well, I thought Big Star as well were in control of 12, that what the Broncos did come back at
you. Yeah, definitely. We knew it was going to be a warm day, so the start was always paramount. And if you take as much pressure out of the team as possible, that's first 10, 15 minutes. And it was just a way to see a couple of those tries. And I think that was the difference at the end of the game, that Petrol took out on the first 10, 15 minutes.
The Broncos have got a big part there. How did you get the Stars deal with this set of lineup?
Yeah, they were pretty good. I was pretty impressed with all their front rowers. They went really well. Kafusi's been a really good follow for them. Mark Bright rolled the team forward well. So we knew it was going to be a challenge to sort of stop them because Craig Gowen and Witt didn't really hurt you off the back of that go forward. They showed they could do that against Wigan last week. So we didn't stop them totally. We contained them as much as we could, I think.
Yeah. In 6 or half time, what was that?
Not much really. It was just complete our sets in attack and defence, get to our kick and just defend their sets or get the ball back on forcing an error or making them kick out of their 40-yard.
One play that did make a big impression with Lloyd Wayne scoring 2 tries.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, he got his opportunities to stay with today and unfortunately he didn't get 3. It was a little bit of a sort of obstruction sort of thing, but yeah, he suffered for a couple of played really well.
While playing for the full 18, even though we were 24 apiece, he had the energy to go back downfield and get what it was to win the try.
Yeah, exactly. We spoke about that when they got that try back in behind the goalpost, and I just come back on. And we just had a good kick chase off the kickoff, and we did that, and we got a little ball back in the field position, sort of, and we had it on the last, sort of backed ourselves, which was good to see. We started backing ourselves.
There's lots of effort on the field, jumps from the boys, and how these goals out on the field, doesn't it?
Yeah, not too bad. Probably another extra 10 minutes out there would have been nice. Yeah, that's why it'll be a more bouncer sometimes, but really hadn't played for about 3 weeks. Got a real injury against Hulk Hogan the first 5 minutes, so I hadn't played for about 3 weeks. And I was called mate, and welcomed me back. As long as I've been here there for a moment, because I haven't been able to do a lot of fitness because of the injury, but it was good to sort of ride it out.
And that kind of victory increases the confidence.
Yeah, definitely. Victory gives you confidence. And sort of, we've got a bit of a tough period now for Catalans away, Origin and Bradford, so they're going to be 3 big games in 9 days, so take that confidence and really push us forward on that point.
Ben Costa, we mentioned about experience before. He has so much experience at his disposal, doesn't he?
It's been a strange choice for the Vikings to have at the front of the pack, isn't it? And he'd be more than glad that Witness got the victory, because it was while he was simping that Witness did concede 2 tries.
Let's now hear from the unhappy coach, Rob Powell.
We didn't go into the week planning it like this, but we clearly it appeared that it was an assumption that we went in having beaten Cass and having played well against Wigan that it had just happened automatically. And I think every game's got to be taken its isolation, every game's going to be tough, and every game rugby league is tough. And there was probably, it felt a little bit watching that we just thought things would happen and that we'd be all right, and it doesn't work like that against any team in the competition in any of the games, and it hurts. 30-all just it's pretty ridiculous, isn't it? You know, 30-all, I don't know why we're even in the, and not about Widnes at all, but 30-all just isn't the sort of game we want to be involved in, and we just let them out of the blocks far too quick, regardless of who we're playing against. It was nothing to do with an underestimation of them. You just can't let a team be 18 if we haven't had the ball for 10 minutes. So, 30-year-old, maybe there's something we could have done, but I'm more interested why in the first 10 minutes we didn't come out with the energy and do the things that we talked about doing, offensively and defensively, and that's probably because there was an assumption that it would happen because we played well the last 2 games, and it doesn't work like that. There wasn't anything in the way that the staff's gone about approaching for this game or preparing the players, but clearly, the first 10 minutes, you'd have to question that, because otherwise, why did we do the things that we did? So I don't know whether it was because it was Widnes or more that the boys just thought that because we've been good 2 weeks on the bounce, we're going to be good again. But, you know, like I've said 3 times, it doesn't work like that. You've got to take every game on its merits and you've got to be ready and right for every game. I do think it's worth saying that Widnes had a real good go. You know, they ran real hard and they tackled strong and they defended together and, you know, they showed up on plays for each other, and they probably had a little bit more of that than we did, and that's probably why they won the game. I'm not questioning the desire from the outset of the team, but I'm probably saying that we just got a bit ahead of ourselves as a group. We played well twice, and therefore we think that we've got a right to come out here and play well, and underestimated the fact that every game you've got to do that.
Rob Powell, though, not really wanted to say too much.
Critical of his team, I thought, in the aftermatch press conference. He's obviously a young man. He's under a lot of pressure.
Let's have a look where else we can go in the Super League before we touch base with Elections at the DW Stadium. The result that really stood out for me was Wakefield getting that win over Catalan, 32-22. Fox scored a couple of tries. Kane also involved Kerman on the score sheet. And Andy Valley again, we had him as a guest a few weeks ago. And he's on a right, which scoring vein, isn't he, so far this season? I think that's four tries.
Really renowned for his try scoring ability. It's also he's having a cracker of a season for Wakefield, and they'll be looking to build on that confidence. A day to forget for Catalan Dragons on.
Certainly a first half to forget. I mean, Wakefield led 24-6 at half time. Catalan scoring four tries through Dupont, Muniz, Green Shields, and Giroud, with Giroud kicking three goals. As you mentioned, though, a bit of a day to forget, but Wakefield are to be credited for what they're doing so far this season, aren't they? We saw them last week take on Warrington, who were very unlucky not to come away with something from that game.
They were, they should really got a draw, to be honest, but they have been slowly getting it back together, and they went on a run of defeats, but one or two pundits around the world were believed saying they were very unlucky not to get the victory, not being far away, but that just shows you the small divide between winning and losing.
Talking about small divide, Castleford Tigers 28, Hull 42. It was close, that game, right until the final stages when Hull just landed a couple of tries which took them away from Cass.
No one really talking about Hull FC at all, are they? And they've got a real good, they've had a real good start to the Super League season, one of the informed teams in that division, but no one's really sounding them out as maybe one of the dark horses to maybe lift the title.
They're up in third, aren't they? Which I guess few people would have actually thought about that before the start of the season, unless you were from Hull, of course. Tickle, Moore, Turner, Manu with two, Seymour and Tom Briscoe were the try scorers. Tickle also kicking seven goals. He's a man who's on a rich vein of form at the moment, isn't he, Adrian?
Man with a lot of experience as well, and he's enjoying his time up at Hull. Part of the furniture, he's been there that long, and he has always been renowned for not just scoring tries but converting them as well.
Now with Castleford losing, they've actually slipped to the bottom of the Super League, and few would have betted that at the start of the season.
Not at all, because they did start quite bright in the first game of the season, but for some reason or another, only they'll know the answer to it. It's just not happening for them.
Bradford Bulls 18, Salford City Reds 38. What did you make of that one? A surprise result, if ever there was one.
Yes, because Bradford were the informed team going into that game, weren't they? But Salford have really come up with a big victory there, and they'll be looking to kick on from that now and maintain that standard of play for the rest of the season.
Joel Moon scoring a couple of tries for Holdsworth, kicking five goals and having a real guiding influence on that Salford team.
He is, and he's obviously getting some coaching feedback from Sean Long, because since Sean Long's been involved with the Salford City Reds, he's starting to play a more expansive game of rugby league.
Bradford, though, what do you see it went wrong for them? They just conceded way too many points in the first half, didn't they?
That tells you as it is. You conceded too many points in the first half, and once you've done that, it's difficult to get back in the ball game.
Surprising result of the weekend for mine, Adrian, was this one. Hull Kingston Rovers 40, Huddersfield Giants 22. Few would have guessed about that one or put any money on that before the kickoff, would they?
I'm not too sure about that one, really, because Hull Kingston Rovers, they're a different team and they're at home. They seem to raise the game another level when they're at Craven Park and seem to be pulling it out, seems to have a rough ride.
Pia Watts, Taylor Wellham, Josh Hodgson, Dave Hodgson, and Lattes has got in charge. Dobson kicking six goals, and one of the field responded with tries from Lunt, George, Craig and Eden, with Brough kicking three goals. Obviously, I think I'm putting that out to the Dobson factor, because since he's come back into contention, the Hull Kingston Rovers results have got a little bit better, haven't they?
He's got a version of Sam Tompkins, isn't he, really, when he comes to the lifting the morale and team level within the squad, and that's exactly what he brings. He seems to spur everybody on for one big effort.
I wouldn't describe him as the Sam Tompkins, really, of Hull Kingston Rovers. I'd say he's more like the Danny Brough of Hull Kingston Rovers.
All right, you say Brough, I'll say it's Tompkins.
Brough or Tompkins, you decide. There's only one way to start this. Next Sunday night saw what many people would have considered a rudderless St Helens come up with an almost perfect 80 minutes performance against Leeds Rhinos. what did you make of the game?
I tell you, I expected a big improvement from State Sands. As we all know, Roy Simmons left the dugout at the Lantry Park. It's been filled by Mike Rush, and Kevin Cullen been filled up for the foreseeable future. So I was expecting Saints to come out. I wouldn't be done, it would have been kicked from pole to post over the last couple of weeks, haven't they? So they were on a mission and to prove the doubters wrong and shove the words down the throat.
St Helens holding the score with Aidy Gardner, and Gardner, he's been in there with the St Helens team, came up with a couple of tries, really showed his opposite number up in Ryan Hall.
He looked like Ryan Hall had led weight in his boots, and he thought he just never failed to attack that ball, and that gave Aidy Gardner the perfect opportunity to get the ball and touchdown.
Great game from Ian Lomax as well, 2 tries and 7 goals from him. Gary Wheeler also chipping in with 2 tries, Lance Hyatt and Paul Wellens, the other try scorers for St Helens. Leeds responded with a try from Zach Hardacre, converted by Kevin Sinfield, but were, well, second best.
Second best all match, were they? Shocking start by him. He's just never really defended as well as they have been doing in recent weeks. That just gave the same talent lots of opportunities and space to score plenty of tries. And once they got the confidence up, there's never going to be one outcome.
It was 3 tries in about 9 minutes, wasn't it, at the start of that game? It was just a real whirlwind opening from St Helens, to be honest. They got crowd again, just over 15,000, lad.
Some great football, the way forward, man.
Let's get some post-game reaction. Steve Manning caught up with Mike Rush.
Well, Mike Rush, temporary head coach of St Helens, how good was that in a debut on your second spelling involved with the team?
Yeah, it was good. They really dug in, didn't they? And they had a few things to prove, and they've certainly set a marker for themselves for the rest of the season.
And the way they set off, they just got into the faces, and I think it was epitomised, I think, a couple of minutes. You drove them back, drop out, and I think that created the opening try.
Yeah, I think Lance's kicking games really helped us tonight. Him and Johnny and John Wilkin have worked really, really hard during the week, and Lance kept dinking that ball in the bottom corner and making them work out of it, and yeah, that was one of the results.
And Eddie Garner, he rose like a salmon. It was reminiscent of that one he scored at the Reebok in the World Club.
Yeah, I just said that to Eddie in the change rooms. That was like his Brisbane try, and it was, Eddie's chuffed to bits. He feels like he's put a real big effort in, and he's got his just rewards.
Did they need any motivation, the boys, going into the game? I know you made a couple of, a few changes, but did they need any motivation playing the World Club champions?
They're well-respected and well-trained athletes, aren't they? They know what was at stake today. They know, even some of the other results today, there were some other big wins for other teams, wasn't there? And we knew we needed to have to put a good performance in, and if we put a good performance in, then we'd be in with a shot of winning the game, and the players knew that.
You've touched on the results. Before that game started, you dropped to 10th. I mean, I know it doesn't matter at this stage sort of thing, but you're banging the 80 with that points difference. You've got an healthy plus 60, which it just makes you wonder what all the drama and crisis was about.
Oh, well, today was a good performance, and it's a long, long season, isn't it? I think a lot will be written about the performance and where we are, but it's March, and there's a long way to go. We've got Warrington, Wigan, Castleford in the next 3 weeks. So
we spoke about the hunger. I mentioned that opening try at not being a great start, but 4 drop points, 4 tries, and the hunger was there, wasn't it?
Yeah. And again, that comes from maybe having the disappointment of losing friends and members of staff, that they have to really roll their sleeves up as players and take some onus and take some responsibility. And I thought Paul Wellens, as captain today, led the team fantastic, and he epitomised that.
And the atmosphere, I mean, it just shows, how good that St Helens crowd is, doesn't it?
Yeah, they're always good, aren't they? They're all, our fans are always good, and they get behind the team, and in the warm-up they got behind the team, and hopefully the team gave them something to sing about, and we all go to the Otherwell Jones in high spirits.
And just finally, got to touch on it. I've not watched it on TV, but there's been a lot of flack about the Red S, for want of a better expression. Your thoughts on it? To me, it's a good cause, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great cause. No, it makes no difference to when you're playing rugby, does it, what colour your hair is. So it's a great cause. We all got behind sport really for the game this week, and the Leeds players have done that, and I don't think it makes one iota a difference.
But in the dressing room, there wasn't anything from some, look at these, like wearing these, what's it all about?
Not at all. This week was about us. Not about anybody else, just us this week.
So onward and upward.
Yep.
Mike Rush there, obviously very happy with how things proceeded on his first game in charge.
Dream start for him, isn't it, really? I know one or two people were saying we're blaming Leeds' hairdo, but had nothing to do with it at all, did it really? It's all about winning the ball and having getting your tactics right, and that's what St Helens did.
Well, I think personally, of all that you're noticing, is just some hairdos, and you have to be watching the rugby league, shouldn't you?
Strange, because you wouldn't pick out the actual players, you wouldn't recognise them.
That was probably why they kept saying it, wasn't it? Because they don't actually know the players and how they play unless they've actually got the numbers and they can see the proper hurdles. Anyway, I've had enough of hurdles.
AJ, we saved the best till last. It started off, it kicked off a fantastic weekend of Super League action. Wigan 20, Warrington 22. How did you see this game?
It became a rubber league, to be honest. Both teams making lots of errors and mistakes, and the only stages of that game, Warrington really struggled at one point to even get out. Not in 10 metres own, they didn't make that many mistakes, but they stuck in there. Wasn't the best performance from Warrington, but it was enough to get the victory here at the DW against Wigan Warriors. You tried everything to try and get rectify the problems of life.
It was an intense game, really, wasn't it? The ferocity of both sides in defence was just there for all to see, and sometimes it got a little bit overheated, didn't it?
It was brutal at times, wasn't it? Some big collision going in, some head-eye tackles as well, and the referee, Mr. Silverwood, was kept really busy, didn't know how to control the game at times.
Now, we did see a couple of players pass personal milestones, particularly Pat Richards. He kicked a goal to open the score, which took him past 2,000 points for the Wigan club. He also kicked him with a try and another goal before Josh Charlie took over and showed his wares as a goalkeeper. Perhaps missed a couple, though.
He did, but to be honest with you, that was probably the difference, wasn't it? Brad Hodgson was outstanding in the debut for Warrington. He kicked everything that he had to take, whereas Wigan missed a couple, and that was the difference between the two teams, wasn't it? But Pat Richards, not bad for a player to score that many points when he nearly kicked out the door after one season.
It was all level at half time as well, wasn't it? And you're thinking, heading into that last 20 minutes, we could be on for a draw, but Brad Hodgson had other ideas.
Came up with the penalty that was given away by the Wigan Warriors, and that was the problem with Wigan Warriors during the night, wasn't it? It was a lack of discipline at times that really cost him dearly, and one player in particular who really lost the plot was the one he put on report twice. That's raising the question, if you put on report twice, maybe he should be red carded.
Now, you're a big fan of this, aren't you? You think that if a player gets put on report once, yeah, he's forgivable perhaps. Twice, automatic red.
Yes, I see you looking at that now. It's raised the question if he needs something down if I need to look at.
I'm not convinced, to be honest. I mean, there were two very different incidents, weren't they? I mean, if they were for the same incident, then yes, I would be agreeing with you, but they were two different incidents, and I don't see how the two of them were related. They've got to be looked at in their individual merits or not.
That's your opinion, but I think if someone's going to get a problem report twice in one match, it should be a straight red. And I noticed it's where they used. It looked likely he was going to get a put on report. We gave him a chance to substitute at Lowarky before the referee even had the word of him.
Yeah, they did do that, didn't they? So I really dragged him to the side, and had he not been for a bit of sparkling footwork himself from Richard Silverwood, then Lowarky would have been off the field, wouldn't
he? He would have been, but there you go, his put on report. They'll have a date with the RFL, and then probably it'd be interesting to see what kind of punishment they gave him. Would they give him a double punishment?
It's interesting, yeah. He'll probably get a letter like everybody else does in Super League. Try scorers on the night for Wigan were McLaurin, Richards and Hock. Richards kicking two goals, Charlie kicking two goals, and in response, Warrington coming good in the end. Priest, Atkins and Joel Monaghan, the try scorers. Brett Hodgson, almost 100% with the boot, 5 from 6. Let's have a bit of post-game reaction from that. Adrian caught up with Michael Monaghan.
Michael Monaghan, it's always a tough game against Wigan, but that was brutal at times out there tonight.
Yeah, it was, and you know, we made it hard on ourselves again, like we have pretty much every week this year. You know, to be able to come away with a victory after, you know, that first half we had, where, you know, completion I think was at about 40%, just shows the character we got. Unfortunately, we have to keep calling on that, and eventually, you know, we're probably not going to be able to find it. So we need to get that sorted, but it's still a great sign against, you know, a really good team to be able to dig in after giving them so much possession and doing so much work to be able to come away that second half and be the team that finished on top.
Is that a concern for the boys, that it's just not going to plan at the minute?
It is. You know, we speak about it every week, and, you know, we're trying to get it right, and it's just, you know, individuals, you know, right across the park. It's not the same people. It's someone different every time. But, you know, we keep speaking about it, and it just keeps happening. So, you know, we do need to get it sorted, but, you know, we keep saying that as well. So, you know, sooner or later, we're either going to be made to pay for it, or we're going to get it right.
I suppose it's frustrating when it does go wrong like that.
It is, because it's, you know, we're not overplaying. It's, you know, we're renowned for being a good attacking team, but it's not that we're overplaying. It's just basic errors and getting up with the ball and those type of things. So it's, you know, it's not that we're chancing our arm or any of that. It's just, you know, we're not completing the simple parts of the game. So it is frustrating, but to still be able to come away with, with a win after doing this consistently all year is, and to be sitting where we are in the table is, you know, it's a good sign, but you know, we don't want to be relying on that for much longer.
Problems aside, how much of a big win is this for Warrington tonight?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, under the circumstances, you know, we've still got a few blokes missing, and up against a team that was, you know, really prepared for this game, and you know, to give them so much possession, and you know, we got Kane that first half on the back of penalties, and to be able to come out in that second half and be the team that you know, finished the stronger, it just sort of shows where we are, and you know, again, it's probably a reflection of the work we've had to do right through this season so far by, you know, our poor completion. It's probably holding us in good stead at the moment because we're, you know, we're really tough defensively.
I can say, because we're used to seeing a swashbuckling performance from Warrington, but how good is this for the boys having to do performances like that tonight and come out with the right result?
Yeah, I've said it's probably going to help us at the back end of the year. Whilst it's disappointing to be playing like that now, you know, it's probably going to help us at the back end of the year where the swashbuckling play that, you know, we're renowned for has to be put on the back burner a little bit. You know, and you look at the last 2 years, the finals games that we've lost, we haven't adjusted to the conditions and to that intense type of rugby. And hopefully, you know, whilst it's disappointing to be doing these, you know, consistently, you know, performing like this at the moment, I think it will hold us in good stead come the end of the year.
It's early in the season, there's plenty of rugby league to be played, but how psychological is it for Warrington to get the victory over Wigan tonight?
Yeah, it is. It's probably not going to make or break our season or theirs, but you know, it just gives us that little bit of confidence knowing that, you know, against the teams that, you know, generally at the top of the table, that we're able to perform. You know, against Leeds, you know, we were similar. We were, you know, close to finishing that game off, you know, with players missing and you know, with a real poor completion rate. So I think it shows that, you know, if we do get ourselves sorted, that we're going to be a very hard team to beat. And you know, it's always good to get one over Wigan, and you know, I'm sure they'll be pretty disappointed.
Personally, for yourself, you're working your way back from injury. How are you finding it now? You're back in the action?
Yeah, slowly. It's you know, it's probably knocked me around a little bit more than I expected. You know, just being inactive for that 3 week period. You know, I'm still trying to find my feet, and you know, hopefully the next few weeks will do that. And tonight was a step forward. I'm still a little disappointed with my performance, but to get 80 minutes out was an important thing, and hopefully yeah, next week I can build on that again.
I'm sure the victory tonight will make their aches and pains a little bit easier to handle.
I think it will.
Cheers, Michael. Yes. Michael Monaghan, would be fair to say he's finally speaking slowly since coming back from injury, isn't it? He did have to do a full 80 minutes today, and it cost a lot of effort in for the cause for the Primrose, and Blue Nation to build on that, don't they? Well, so we're up through the fixtures this weekend in Super League, and where we have most of the games taking place on a Sunday, most of them are back to Friday night again.
That's due to the fact it's the Easter period coming up, isn't it? So the teams are obviously opting to play on the Friday, so it gives them a couple of days to prepare for the two games in 4 day programme.
Starting off on Friday night, Castleford against Hull Kingston Rovers, Hull take on Bradford, Leeds host Huddersfield, Salford host Wigan, and Warrington host St Helens after picking the games.
Obviously, it's a net local derby again. What a great week that'll be for Warrington if they can get a home victory against St Helens, having come to the home of Wigan and beat it and beat them.
Two games on Saturday, do you fancy witness chances going over to Catalan?
Not really, no. It's going to be difficult, isn't it, for the Vikings to get a victory against the Catalan Dragons away. But, you know, anything can happen. You can't take it for granted. They will believe in it. Witness do come away with a victory. But the same thing with the win against Wigan with a 5 moment for them, that'll be an even bigger moment for them.
The other televised game of the weekend is London Broncos. Now, I'm a bit curious as to why they picked this particular game to sort of televise, because it doesn't really set my heart rate in London Broncos against Wakefield.
Well, it's a difficult one, isn't it? It's not going to be one for the purists, to be honest. I reckon it's going to be a lot of mistakes, and it'll be the case in which pack of four has come out from top.
That's all that we've got time for on this edition of Super League Talks.